Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Rage and the Republic, The Unfinished Story of the American Revolution by Jonathan Turley, revisits the revolution not as a completed origin tale, but as an ongoing argument about power, liberty, and civic virtue. Framed for modern readers, the book connects the passions that fueled rebellion with the institutional architecture that followed, showing how anger can be both a force for accountability and a threat to constitutional order. Turley, known for constitutional commentary, emphasizes the gap between revolutionary ideals and the messy realities of building a republic, including factional conflict, competing visions of rights, and the dangers of concentrated authority. The narrative highlights how the founders tried to translate public outrage at imperial abuses into durable rules, checks, and procedures. By treating the revolution as unfinished, the book invites readers to see present debates about speech, representation, executive power, and political polarization as part of a long continuity rather than a sudden decline. It is a timely guide to the moral and legal stakes of self-government. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, rage as a political catalyst and a political risk. A central theme is how public anger becomes historically decisive. Revolutionary rage emerges as a response to perceived abuses, unfair taxation, and distant rule. But the book treats that emotion as complicated rather than purely heroic. Anger can unify people across colonies, accelerate organization, and give courage to resist entrenched power. At the same time, rage can narrow empathy, intensify suspicion, and encourage moral certainty that makes compromise feel like betrayal. This tension matters because revolutions must eventually pivot from resistance to governance. The skills and instincts that topple authority can undermine the patience, procedural restraint, and tolerance needed to build institutions. The book links this dynamic to recurring American patterns, bursts of outrage that produce reform, followed by backlash, factional hardening, and pressure to punish opponents rather than persuade them. In that view, the revolution is not only about independence, but about learning how to discipline collective emotion through law. The takeaway is not to suppress passion, but to channel it. A republic survives when it can convert justified anger into structured accountability, while refusing the temptation to treat politics as permanent emergency. Secondly, from rebellion to rules designing a republic that distrusts power, the book highlights how revolutionary leaders faced an immediate problem after rejecting imperial authority what would replace it. The answer was not a single ideal blueprint, but a set of practical safeguards built on skepticism about human nature. Rather than assuming virtuous leaders, the American experiment leaned on mechanisms that make ambition check ambition, separating powers and dividing authority across institutions. The book explores how constitutional design tries to prevent the very abuses that sparked the break with Britain, including arbitrary rule, punishment without due process, and unchecked executive force. Yet these safeguards also slow action and frustrate majorities, which is why moments of intense political passion often generate demands to bypass procedure. The narrative emphasizes that the republic is intentionally hard to steer because it is built to resist sudden surges of power. That design can look like gridlock, but it is also a defense against the politics of rage. The larger point is that constitutional government is a discipline, not just a structure. It requires citizens and leaders to accept limits, losing arguments without resorting to coercion, and treating opponents as legitimate participants rather than enemies to be removed. Thirdly, liberty, rights, and the boundaries of dissent. Another major topic is the evolving meaning of liberty in a society born from protest. The revolution elevated ideas about rights, representation, and freedom of conscience, but the book stresses that these ideals have always been contested in practice. Disputes over what counts as protected dissent versus dangerous subversion appear early and recur across American history. The book connects revolutionary arguments about speech, assembly, and petition to later conflicts where governments and movements alike have tried to narrow the space for disagreement. This is where the notion of an unfinished revolution becomes concrete. Each generation renegotiates the boundaries of acceptable dissent, often under pressure from fear or outrage. The text underscores that rights are not merely philosophical claims, they are enforced through institutions and habits, like independent courts, transparent processes, and a public culture that tolerates unpopular views. When rage dominates, calls to silence or punish rivals become easier to justify. The book, therefore, frames free expression and due process as stabilizers, allowing a pluralistic society to handle conflict without sliding into repression. It encourages readers to treat dissent as a test of confidence in the republic, not as a weakness. Fourthly, faction, polarization, and the problem the founders could not solve. The book treats factionalism as a permanent feature of a free society. Revolutionary coalitions were never perfectly unified, and the early republic quickly developed competing camps with different economic interests, regional identities, and theories of national power. The founders tried to mitigate faction through representation, checks and balances, and a constitutional framework that makes capture harder. Yet faction adapts. Parties professionalize conflict, media ecosystems amplify outrage, and social identity turns political disagreement into personal condemnation. The narrative suggests that modern polarization is not an anomaly, but an intensified version of an old challenge: how to keep competition from becoming delegitimization. The book examines the ways leaders can exploit rage to consolidate support, framing opponents as traitors rather than fellow citizens. It also shows how institutions can be stressed when partisans treat every policy fight as existential. The broader lesson is that the republic depends on norms as much as on laws. When citizens accept peaceful alternation of power and respect procedural outcomes, factions can coexist. When they refuse, constitutional structures strain. The unfinished work of the revolution, in this framing, is learning to argue fiercely without abandoning the shared rules that make argument possible. Lastly, the unfinished revolution's civic responsibility in every generation. By calling the story unfinished, the book frames the American Revolution as an ongoing civic project rather than a settled inheritance. The founding generation established ideals and institutions, but they also left contradictions, contested meanings, and unresolved debates about equality, participation, and the reach of government. The book emphasizes that a republic is maintained by citizens who understand its history and accept their role in sustaining it. That includes voting, serving on juries, engaging in public debate, and resisting the lure of easy solutions that require expanding coercive power. The text connects the health of the system to education and civic literacy. People defend what they can explain. It also underscores that outrage without responsibility becomes destructive, while responsibility without moral urgency becomes complacent. The balance is to keep the revolutionary spirit of accountability while practicing the republican virtues of restraint, patience, and respect for process. This topic encourages readers to see current controversies as opportunities to renew constitutional habits rather than reasons to abandon them. The unfinished revolution is not a call for perpetual upheaval, but a reminder that liberty requires maintenance, and that democratic self-government fails when citizens outsource their duties to leaders, movements, or institutions alone. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who enjoy American history through a constitutional lens, including students, educators, lawyers, policy professionals, and civically engaged citizens who want more than a celebratory origin story. It will also appeal to anyone trying to make sense of modern political anger and why debates about rights, executive power, and public trust feel so intense. The practical benefit is perspective by tracing how rage can defend liberty yet endanger it. The book encourages readers to handle disagreement with more discipline and less fatalism. It invites you to see institutions as tools for channeling conflict rather than obstacles to winning, and to value process, due process, and free expression as protections for everyone, not privileges for a side. Compared with many revolution narratives that focus mainly on battles or biographies, this approach is worth buying because it links founding-era tensions to present dilemmas and stresses civic responsibility as the missing chapter. It functions as both historical interpretation and a guide to maintaining a republic under stress, offering a framework for readers who want to argue about politics without giving up on constitutional self-government. If you would like to support Jonathan Turley, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.